Hey, this is Nick Gelso, co-owner and founder of CLNS Radio. Today's podcast is brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda.com is the home of expert video tutorials. Because you're such a loyal listener of CLNS Radio, and it's 2015, you want to kick the new year off in style, claim your free trial today from CLNS by going to Lynda.com/CLNS. That's LYNDA.com/CLNS. Now on to your regularly scheduled program.
Well, hello there, everybody. It is the 14th of March, 2015. Your Boston Celtics with a win, 93-89 on this ridiculously late edition of the recap show. Apologies to everyone out there who is a dedicated listener. There's been a fiasco of things going on in life for all of us, and I'm just one to say that my apologies to being so late to the broadcast. But tonight was a game that made a statement for the rest of the season. There's about a month left in the year, and the Boston Celtics got the win 93-89 over the seventh-place Indiana Pacers, who have been streaking. They ended the Indiana Pacers' streak, seven wins in a row. And let me remind you of something real quick. This Boston Celtics team, there are three teams in the Eastern Conference you can make the case for right now when it comes to the Eastern Conference eighth seed. You have the Charlotte Hornets, you have the Miami Heat, and you also have the Boston Celtics, who are right there fighting for him as well. I have no internet, so apologies here. I have literally no information in front of me of what's going on. Here we go. Yay, now here it is. Indiana Pacers, 30-34. They're still the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference. The Charlotte Hornets, 29-35. The Miami Heat, 29-36. Boston, they won today, so they're 29-36 as well. They're tied with Miami. They're a half game out of a playoff spot right now. You talk about a stretch run for the Boston Celtics now. Now that they're 29-36, that gives them about 65 games in. The Boston Celtics got about 17, less than 17. They got about, what is it now? So it's 82 games in the season, 65. Do quick math real quick. What is it? Seven. Yeah, 17 games left in the regular season. 17 games left. And they're a half game out of a playoff spot. Who would have thought this would have been the case back in December, November? Who would have sat here and thought and said that the Boston Celtics, after tonight was a statement game. It was. Indiana winning seven in a row, again, 30-35 now, but 30-34 coming into this one without Paul George, obviously streaking. The rest of the Eastern Conference has pretty much shelled itself out with Milwaukee, Washington, Chicago, Toronto, Cleveland and Atlanta all hovering above, you know, where we would expect them to be, which are teams leading in the East. But those bottom two spots, Indiana hovering right there, obviously on a hot streak, Charlotte right on their tail, Miami and Boston, to see where the Boston Celtics have come from where they were at the beginning of the year to now, it's an incredible journey process has happened. I mean, think about that. The beginning of the year, this team started off with Rajon Rondo, who I think, looking at the trade now, you know, 2 months out now, it's been a little bit over 2 months now since the Rajon Rondo trade, wouldn't you say that was the best choice that Boston made? Wouldn't you say that this choice by the Boston Celtics to get rid of their quote-unquote, you know, franchise player Rajon Rondo, and seeing what he's now doing in Dallas, absolutely destroying a franchise and doing what he's been doing. I mean, it is fascinating to see the whereabouts of what's going on in Dallas. Again, Dallas isn't like falling off the map or anything. They're still a sixth seed in the Western Conference. But to see in the Eastern Conference how Boston has really just pinwheeled everything. I mean, their whole roster is completely different from the beginning of the year. And to see this team where at the same time we've had this discussion, I feel like on this show, not just the show, but maybe the Celtics beat on the Celtics postgame shows about Brad Stevens and how, you know, fans aren't a fan of him. How could you not be a fan of him now? Think about the turmoil that's going on. It's not really turmoil. It's more of Boston is more of a turning wheel right now, if you were to say, with the roster. The roster is completely different from what it was last year. I literally, a year ago right now, this team is 180 different. And first of all, it goes to show you how weak the Eastern Conference is. And then to see the Eastern Conference and to see the Boston Celtics on top of, you know, being a weak conference, Boston is still in it. I mean, are they going to make a deep run in the postseason? Do we think that's going to happen? Absolutely not. Do we think that this is the year that they could make a run and do something? I don't think so. I don't think that any logical mind when it comes to the world of sports would think that that's the case. But when it comes to the road back to dominance that this team had back in 2010, when they made the NBA final, when they won the NBA Finals in 2008, when they went back to the NBA Finals in 2010, to see this team now rebuilding and seeing it really unfold before our very eyes. I understand we want to have a winning, you know, basketball team right now for the Boston Celtics, but the understanding that the road is being paved right now. The golden bricks are being dropped as we speak. This team, I mean, look at this team. This team's now won three in a row. They're four in a row, I should say. 29-36. They're only a half game out of a playoff spot. And does anyone, I mean, if you really think that the Boston Celtics have a chance at doing anything this year, I mean, you're out of your mind. But to see the rebuilding process coming together so quickly, I mean, we're over a year and a half into this process now, and we're already seeing this. And to see this process already lay itself out, you gotta have so much hope for this. And it's so fascinating to hear from the fans. Understand that a guy like Brad Stevens, who I don't see the criticism. I don't understand the criticism. This guy has molded this team into a program. You know, I hate to say program. It is March Madness time, by the way, if you didn't know. By the way, I mean, conference tourneys going off everywhere. It's been insane today when it comes to college basketball. But when it comes to the world of the NBA, Brad Stevens, he is building a program in Boston that, I mean, I'm not going to lie, it's difficult to watch, but have you guys seen what's been going on the last 2 weeks in the world of sports in Boston, in the Celtics landscape? What's been going on in the Garden? That game winner by Tyler Zeller about a week ago. I mean, this team has completely flipped it around. And to see that being the case, it has been one heck of a show. And tonight was a statement game. I mean, to be 100% honest, 93-89 was the victory for Boston over the Indiana Pacers. And to see how this game unfolded, it's absolutely fascinating. Because, again, Indiana made a run there late in the game, and Boston obviously, you know, did what they needed to do to stay within it. But to see this Boston Celtics team finally put some chemistry together, I'm not going to say they're going to make a run and they're going to do anything special here over the next, you know, over the next month and prove otherwise that they're going to be a threat in the Eastern Conference. You got Milwaukee right now with guys like Michael Carter-Williams and obviously those Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think I got guys like that who are really solidified as a, you know, Boston is really, like I said, a turning wheel at this point with what they got in the roster. Obviously, Brad Stevens has got to find a way to make things work, make a makeshift roster into something that can come out on the floor every night and give you a winning product. And he's doing that. He's getting the pieces together. And I've mentioned this multiple times if you've heard me on previous post-game shows. I've done a couple others in the past. If you haven't heard me, my name's Chris Morris, and I do a show called The Hooper's Log every Friday. I will be having a show tomorrow night on Sunday for Selection Sunday. But the point is, if you've heard me in the past talk about this Boston Celtics team, there's one thing missing. And I think we can all relate to that. I mean, at least this is how I see it. Boston just needs one guy. They need one guy. And I'm not trying to sit here and say LeBron James needs to come to Boston, because that's never going to happen. And only in a dreamer's world. But you know what I'm saying? They need a guy that can come in and that can really lead the charge. They don't have that. Rajon Rondo was supposed to be the guy. Well, clearly going to Dallas, he's showing that he just can't. He just can't. He's terrible just at what he did. And it was a great move by Boston to get rid of him. They have a guy in Isaiah Thomas who could be that guy, but can we be honest here? I mean, I'm from the Tacoma area where Isaiah Thomas grew up and went to school and, you know, became the player that he is today. You know, he went to UW, all that. I've seen Isaiah Thomas grow up. And the guy is not a guy that's going to come in and be your lead superstar. He's never going to be a superstar in this league. The guy is going to be a fantastic scoring option. He's going to be a good defensive. He's going to be okay on defense, but he's not going to be anything special. But he can provide a spark that, you know, can get this team going, which you've seen over the last month, you know, 2-3 weeks now, that Isaiah Thomas has brought since being dealt from Phoenix. You know, he's brought a spark to this team that clearly has made some waves. I mean, again, half game out of a playoff spot, and to see this Boston Celtics team doing what they're doing, you've got to have some serious hope for the future. I mean, and if you don't, what are you looking at? I mean, what are you seeing that we're not? I mean, I've been hearing waves about through the Boston market saying that this Boston Celtics team is looking 180 different from what they looked like at the beginning of the year. And to see that, you know, they're only missing one piece. Getting back to my point, only one piece is missing. They have all the pieces in line. They have the ingredients. The problem is they don't got the sugar. You know what I'm saying? Let's put out the food analogy, you know, Beats and Eats. You know, we got those Beats and Eats guys out there, you know, shout out to them. But let's be honest, they got all the ingredients. Boston's got the ingredients to make one heck of a mean pasta chef dish salad. They do. Problem is, it's not sweet enough. They got to get one guy. I'm telling you. And they lost it since Paul Pierce is gone now. Since they lost, you know, obviously Paul Pierce is way past his prime. And obviously can't play to the level we all know he used to in Boston. And obviously KG's been gone. I'm just saying, those guys, you just need one now. Honestly, you need a guy that can come in and close. You need a guy that can come in and finish out a ball game. And once that comes into place, you're going to see this normality of this team being a postseason team for the future. How is that a crazy statement to make? How is it crazy to say that a team right now that's 29-35, 36, whatever, to see them come in and play the way that they've been playing over the last 2-3 weeks now since all these transactions and this whole year they've made transactions, this team is, again, completely different. You put in one more guy, and I'm talking like, I mean, I'm not talking anything big. I'm talking maybe like, you know, Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson's not really a guy I'd want to have. You know, I wouldn't really want to put Joe Johnson on the spot because he obviously has proven when he went to the Brooklyn Nets that he's nothing really special to deal with. But you grab a guy like, you know, maybe even it might come through the draft. You might grab a Kentucky player from the draft. You might get a guy like what's his name? Man, the guy from Duke right now, Jahlil Okafor. You get a guy like that coming on in, you know, and building around him. I mean, but I feel like they already have a ton of those. They need to get a solidified guy right now, this offseason. Find one guy that can lead the charge. And if they get that one guy, I can guarantee you Boston will be in the conversation with a team that can potentially win 45 games in the Eastern Conference. And that's guaranteed middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference. And all you got to do really is get into the postseason. And yes, over the last 4, 5, 6 years, basically since the Celtics went to the postseason, the East has really been really heavily tilted towards one team. It hasn't been tilted towards, you know, it hasn't been tilted, you know, from an even perspective like the Western Conference. The Western Conference has legitimate 7 teams that can compete for a title this year. The Eastern Conference, they might have 2, maybe 3, maybe right now, especially right now with the way Cleveland's been playing and the way Atlanta's been playing all year since Thanksgiving. And all Boston needs to do, really, if they want to be in the conversation to be an effective team down the road, which, I think there's a lot of people on the same page here. They need one guy that can come in and score you 25 a night, you know, or a guy that can play really a solid brand of team basketball and light the spark on the starting end of the floor. You've got a guy in Isaiah Thomas who can come out and play basketball the way he is. Apparently, he didn't play tonight. Isaiah Thomas didn't play tonight. You got a guy in Marcus Smart again. Marcus Smart seems to be that guy, but he's not fulfilling that role. And granted, he's young. We're not sitting here and trying to say Marcus Smart needs to be the immediate threat. But, you know, down the road, he's going to improve and make his role a lot more important as he gets older and gets better. Avery Bradley's a fantastic player on this team. Tyler Zeller has just stepped up his game, 18 points tonight. This guy was unbelievable. Brandon Bass, he's a solid team. This team, and I don't want to compare it to the Spurs, but really, when it comes to the players on their team, they have chemistry going, which I'm telling you, next year, they get a chemistry-laden filled offseason, and they grab one guy from free agent. I'm telling one legitimate out of five stars, like a 3-4-star guy who can score you 20, 25 points, go-to guy. Boston's in the running for a top four team in the Eastern Conference. Is that too far-fetched to say? They have the role players to seriously contend with some major teams. And they beat the Indiana Pacers tonight, who have been on a winning streak and have been unbelievable. If you're listening on in, I don't have the webpage up. If you're trying to call in and conversate, I apologize. I do not have it up. So the interaction level is mute today. Unfortunately, that's the case. This has been a late show. This has been a haywired, bizarro, wonky type show today. It's just me babbling on the radio about the Boston Celtics, which I'm sure you don't have a problem with considering how this team has been playing over the last, you name it, how this team has been playing over the last, you know, 2-3 weeks. How could you not be excited for this? This team's been playing fantastic basketball. I mean, up and down, again, breaking down the roster, and I don't really need to if you're a Boston Celtics. Evan Turner, fantastic role player. Brandon Bass. Fantastic role. Tyler Zeller, a great. Their starting lineup is filled with great role players. I'm serious. You put any of those role players, I'll take them right now on a championship contender. I will. They're that good of role players. Jay Crowder, he can come in and provide a spark. Is he a go-to guy? He can be, but is he the go-to guy that can get you to that next level? I don't think so yet. Granted, he's still young. He's still kind of a developing player. Obviously, Marcus Smart, like I said, is young, and he's a developing player. But you know, and Kelly Olynyk, wait till Kelly Olynyk gets a little bit more time in the NBA. Give him, wait till next year when Kelly Olynyk comes in and has a full offseason again, another full offseason. He's going to be better, you know. Outside of that, they've got some solid role players. I mean, 8 legitimate role players on this team that can come in and do what the same thing the guys off the bench can do. You know, the starters can do the same thing the bench players can do. It's a very even out team. The problem is they do need to have a go-to guy. At the end of the day, in the NBA, if you don't have a go-to guy, you're not going to win championships. I mean, in 08, when the Boston Celtics won the NBA championship, they had the trio. Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, if you want to be technical, they had the quadruplet. You know, they had Rajon Rondo in his rookie year. We could all make the case Rajon Rondo really helped make that team go. But, you know, obviously KG was near the end of his prime, but he was still playing great basketball. Paul Pierce was Paul Pierce, and obviously Ray Allen, you know, getting kind of into the crusty part of his career. You had that going on, and that's what it takes to win championships. You got to have those key guys, Kobe and Shaq in L.A., and no one wants to hear about Kobe and Shaq, but that was the case in L.A. They had go-to guys, the Spurs, the trio, you know, Ginobili, Parker, and Timmy, you know, and obviously the Miami Heat when they had their trio and Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James. LeBron James in 07. Yeah, okay, so this is what I have envisioned. Let's just play fictional radio right now. Fictional radio here on the Celtics postgame show. Again, the Celtics win the night 93-89. They beat the Indiana Pacers who've won 7 in a row. They're now 29-36. If you want to be technical, they're only a game back of the 7th seed. I'm telling you, another solid week of basketball by the Boston Celtics, they're going to be in the postseason. And that's going to be tough considering Charlotte just got Kemba Walker back. Obviously, Miami's on a downspin right now, which is bizarre considering all the trades they made, getting the Dragic brothers, getting, you know, obviously having Hassan Whiteside, who's been a monster, and Chris Bosh is in the hospital. So they've dropped off quite a bit, Dwayne Wade being, you know, obviously Dwayne Wade with his knees these days. And so the Celtics can find a way to sneak into the playoffs. I mean, when it comes to doing anything legit in the postseason, that's a whole different story. But getting into the postseason, you know, you got a month left, half game out. They got an opportunity. But let's play fictional radio for a second. You know, 2007. Who represented the Eastern Conference in 2007? You had a game the other night on Thursday night between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the San Antonio Spurs. The Cleveland Cavs represented in 2007 with who? Who did they have? What was their team like? I'm serious. I'm not trying to sit saying here that everyone can play like LeBron James. I'm not trying to sit here and say that, you know, that a LeBron James is going to be walking through that door, a LeBron James type player. That's not going to happen. What I'm trying to say is if you can find a way to get one guy to become a go-to guy, and a go-to guy that takes you to the next level, and that's very, very hard in the NBA. It's almost like comparing, you know, I hate to jump sports, but it's like comparing, you know, a good team. You know, you Patriot fans out there can relate to this. It's like having, you know, the Patriots without Tom Brady. You don't have the key quarterback. You need the quarterback on the team, a guy that can really fundamentally get you something in the stretch run that you need at the end of ball games. They don't have that. They don't have a go-to guy. They don't have things they can develop around a go-to guy in the fourth quarter late in ball games. That's the one missing link. And I'm telling you, it is so – I can only imagine being out there in Boston and watching this and seeing this. They're playing great basketball. But postseason, they're going to run into so many troubles because of matchup problems. I mean, this team is built for a regular season run like they're doing right now, and they're playing great basketball. Again, I'm not trying to downstretch anything. I'm talking future. I'm talking, you know, winning championships. I'm talking getting to the postseason and being successful. I'm talking like legitimate, you know, what Boston's all about. I mean, at the end of the day, the Boston Celtics are if not top one, top two programs in the NBA. Legitimately. And so with that, you know, I'm going to keep talking here in a second, but I'm going to just hold on for a second real quick. Hey, thank you so much. This one?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Jessica. Okay. Thank you. I'll be back in shortly, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I got some friends that I'm hanging out with, and that's not the only reason I started the show late. I legitimately had no computer in front of me, and I had nothing to do. But I'm drinking an Angry Orchard. Why not, right? Four in a row for the Boston Celtics. Four in a row for the Boston Celtics at a time in the rebuilding stage where I think we all anticipated some lumps in the road. And let me tell you something. There have been some lumps in the road this year. Legitimately some serious lumps in the road for the Boston Celtics. The team has gone from, a team I think we all expected to maybe finish 10th in the Eastern Conference, which is still a legitimate possibility. I mean, right now, technically, if you want to be technical, they are 10th in the Eastern Conference right now. I mean, they're tied with Miami right now. Think about that. Okay, keep your mind around that for a second. The Boston Celtics are tied with the four-time defending Eastern Conference champion. Now, I understand. Year to year, it's a different league in the NBA. And considering how the NBA has worked over the last, you know, two or three years, really, it's been Indiana and Miami. Well, the Boston Celtics beat a streaking Indiana team, and they also beat a Miami. They're also tied with Miami. So the two best teams in the Eastern Conference over the last 2.5-3 years have been the Indiana Pacers and the Miami Heat. And look, they're right there with them. And yes, I understand circumstances are way different. Paul George is not in the picture at all. He's coming back shortly, but he's not in the picture at all. LeBron has left town from Miami. Dwayne Wade is literally skeleton and bones right now in Miami. And so when it comes to the playoff picture for a month down the road, to see where this team is, where they're located, how they're doing, to understand that and to see how this team's working, it's a fascinating thing. We got about 90 seconds left on the show. I apologize for the chaos that this show provided. I really hope I gave you something to think about when it came to the Boston Celtics. We got about 90 seconds left. I would give you an outro and all that stuff, but unfortunately I can't. But there is one thing I'd like to say before I go. This Boston Celtics team, I'm telling you, this is not the year to think that they're going to do anything big, but to give you hope, in 2015-2016, you're going to see a team, if they add one major piece to the puzzle, that's going to be a legitimate threat in the Eastern Conference, and they might even turn into a team like Atlanta. Atlanta is a team that is a perfect example of a team that Boston can build like. And I'm not saying Brad Stevens is like a former assistant Spurs coach, but the guy can build programs. He's proving it now. Thank you again for listening to the Boston Celtics program. As the Boston Celtics win 93-89 over the Indiana Pacers, they're now 29-36, half a game out of the postseason. Hopefully next time it'll go much smoother. Have a great night.